would like to introduce the first speaker, Joey P. from the No Matter What group of NA in the Wee area of NA.
I'm a recovering addict named Joe. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Hell yeah, man. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else in the world, man. You know, this is family. I don't know, just can we just have a moment of silence just for me to get out of the way, man. Just... All right. Like I said, I'm a recovering addict, Joe. I don't know, man. I apologize, but I'm rather a loud speaker. It's just who I am, man. I got my identity from, through step work and through, just showing up. Just great coming to these functions, man, because like a lot of you, I don't know, but a lot of you, like I know you through Facebook. You know, when I come to these functions, I'm looking, I know that guy, I know that girl, it's just great, man, because then I meet new people and I'm like, I need numbers, man, because I don't file them, I use them, man. You know, I need more numbers, man, because this is my family, man. This is my family and I get chills just thinking of it. Hell yeah. I love NA, man. Like, it was go to hell, turn left. Here's the rooms, man. Here's the rooms. I don't know. You know, when I came to NA, you know, they gave me an outline on life, which I never had in my life. I never had nothing that, you know, there was no instructions. You know, I was a dope fiend for, that's all I knew. The grips before the grips, you know, and unity, you know. There was no unity in my life, man. There was, you know, what the basic text talks about and everything I learn about unity and I learn from my Bible, the basic text and all our other literature we have and all our other books, you know, I didn't know nothing of it. You know, I didn't know things like, you know, our karma and welfare should come first. I didn't know some things like humility. I didn't know some things like unconditional acceptance, unconditional love. I didn't know none of that, you know. This is a line I love in the basic text, man. Cheryl brought a book I seen, and I it's just easier for me. I love stuff like this. The end of our first tradition, man. I love these lines. Like it says, unity is a spirit that joins members around the world in a spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. By striving to see beyond our individual ideas and interests of our own group, we come to understand that the common welfare of ONA must come first. Through our trust in a loving higher power, we find the strength to work together toward our shared goal of recovery from addiction. In the unity that grows in trust, we are ready to work together for our common good. That's some good stuff, man. That's some good stuff, but like, can you repeat it? You know, to me, unity is family. Unity is being humble. Unity is, you know, really incorporating humility in my life. Unity is giving someone a hug. Because when I came in, I remember some of my first meetings, which I didn't stay clean when I first came in. When I remember getting a hug from someone saying, you don't ever have to live like that anymore. You're home, dude. Stay. You know, stuff like that, man. And I didn't know what. I got chills. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant. Like, I came in and out for a while, and I just didn't know. You know, we got a family here, man. We got a family. Like, I don't ever have to be alone. I don't ever have to be alone again. That's priceless words to this guy, man. Like, I thought my life was stuck in dereliction, man. I chase it hard. You know, what's a living clean? Talk about desperation of passion. I keep that passion. I keep it, man. I chase it so hard, man. Because I was that guy that go through miles for a bag of dope that wasn't even good to get ripped off, to walk through 10 feet of snow to towns I never even meet, to get burned day after day after day. You know, so why shouldn't I get in this? And I chase unity because I need unity. You know, I had to learn, like, all these spiritual principles, and I read that first tradition that talks, and, you know, all this stuff that makes up unity, you know, what is unity for me today? It's like I said, it's giving someone my time, man. Like, you know, people gave me their time when I first walked in the room. You know, like, and I'm forever grateful for that, man. Like, I chase the hard week. Like I said, like, some of you I don't know. I want to know you. I need to, after this meeting, man, I need to give you a hug. I want your number. You know? Because I love everybody, man. Like, You know, I was taught things with unity, like I didn't have to like everybody, but I gotta love everybody, man, because everybody loved me. Everybody gave me their time. You know, I was taught like direction by my sponsor, like you know, unity and autonomy, not like uniformity in governments, like stuff like that. You know, like my sponsor taught me by example. You know, and I'm a kind of guy, I love chaos. I love finding the gossip. I love finding what's going on. I love that stuff, man. And I've always found myself, you know, in predicaments like that, man. People are talking about me. You know, and I don't know, I love this thing we call NA. I love this thing we call our family. You know, some of the issues, you know, that I run on Unity, like I had to find out it's not about me. It's not Joe's Anonymous. It's not, you know, it's just a greater purpose. And thank God I had to find there's a greater purpose, you know. And I had to find things like our common welfare should come first, man, because if your group falls, I fall. And I couldn't grasp that. I couldn't grasp that. Like I went through, like, but my home group in Charleroi, you know, it's a Thursday noon. We started called No Matter What. And, you know, I remember we had issues with the whole vaping, not vaping issue. We had, you know, it's just, unity is such a serious topic, man. It's just thought, without unity, you know, because I ran on stuff like, I made it about me. You know, I made decisions. I made decisions kind of like extensions of my personality. I made decisions because I thought I was doing the right. But I didn't realize it's about what I got taught, the lifeblood of the fellowship, man. It's about the newcomers. It's about being welcome. You know, there's things that's just more important. You know, I had to learn stuff like that. You know, and I just take unity serious, man, because I chase it. You know, I remember like issues like, like I said, at that home group level, you know, that was a huge issue. The vaping and not vaping, man. Like, and I made it about me. I remember going through that stuff. You know, I remember we had a unity day just this week. A couple of us were sharing about unity. I was listening to Kevin share about unity too, and I'm listening to this stuff and hearing some of these same issues, man. And I remember this all at the home group level. It was just crazy stuff. How, like, and what I don't realize, it's just not about the issue, man. It's just being able to be like agree to be disagreeable. That's so tough sometimes. Man, sometimes I want it to be about me. Sometimes I want the chaos. I just want the chaos just to have that last word. But I got to realize, like, it's not about me. That was so tough to grasp in this, you know, in this fellowship. But, like, unity, that's what's on the line, man. Like, without unity, man, people die. And I've learned that, man. I've went in and out because I made stuff about me. You know, about you, about me, you know. And like I said, you know, I had to learn stuff like that. You know, I don't care what edition of the basic text you read. I love all. Okay? I don't care whether I'm meeting with vaping, not vaping. I don't give a damn, man, because like I got taught, man, like the disease would just kill me every time, man. Like I had to put my personalities aside. I chase it. You know, what we do now is like we try to make it always about the newcomer. Like I'm friends with a lot of people. And what I see happening is, you know, we have newcomers come in the door, a lot of our home groups, and I see people treat them like diseased. You know, and that hurts me. That just hurts me so much, man. And I see it happen over and over. And like, I just want to give them a hug, man. I'm that guy that goes and gives them a hug. I'm that guy that, like, I go on road trips. We do it like 2 or 3 times a week, man. We just chase it hard. You know, there's friends I haven't even met yet. You know, and that's some of the things, you know, that's some of the things we do. You know, I had to learn some of this stuff. You know, I had to learn some of this stuff. Like, you know, my program might not be the, you know, how you work your program. Your program not be how we might not how I work my program. Like everything's not for everyone. I had to learn stuff like that. You know, in the first tradition, we're all there, like, you know, for a common purpose. Like unity's on the line. You know, I have 3 guys that I sponsor. You know. That went out in the last month, maybe a month and a half, man. I'm sitting on my steps. I was on my phone and reading the paper one day, and you know, all 3 of them come walk past, man, and they're back out there in the grips, and I just hate that. And I pray for them. I pray for them, man. And you know, I go through that, man. And I give them a hug. I just constantly give people a hug, man, because people were there to give me a hug. You know, I had to learn that, like, it's not. I don't have to like you. But I have to love you. You know, I joke around, I say to my home group, but it's a true thing. Like, You know, there's some people that I annoy. There's some people that annoy me, you know, and there's some people that don't like me. But I don't care. It's not about that. You know, I hug them first. When I go into a meeting, if I am uncomfortable with someone, I hug you first. If you're uncomfortable with me, I hug you first. Because I realize I get uncomfortable by getting, and I get comfortable by getting uncomfortable. And I do that so often. And it just, like, it brings everybody together, man. You know, and that's what it is. We have a crazy area. We're in the wee area. And we have, like, some people that do stuff a little different in a part of our area. You know, and I realize that, like, I don't have to like it, but I still love them. You know, we had a big unity day. It was Sunday this week. And it was trying to bring together both parts of our area. You know, that we have conflict in there. And the bottom line is, like, the common welfare has to come first. Like, there's people that I despise, you know? But the bottom line is they're staying clean, they're welcoming the newcomer, and I gotta love them. I gotta love them. You know, and they were the first people to get hugged. They were the first people to get hugged. And that's some of the things that I've learned, man, because we all share the same goal, man. We rely on a higher power, you know, and we're here for a common goal, you know? And unity is just like, that's it, man. Because I learned things like anonymity, man. Like, I had to learn stuff like that. Like, we're all equal, you know? That was tough, man. Like, because I ran on personalities for so long, man. I thought stuff was about me, you know, till I realized and set the personality aside to just give someone a hug and give someone my time. You know, unity is huge. I'll break my neck for a newcomer because I hope they break their neck for me if something happens to me, you know? Because someone was there to hug me and tell me it's going to be all right. You know, that's some of the stuff. That's some of the stuff I learned, man. My sponsor just, you know, he keeps me in check, man. I got some rocks in my life that, you know, that keep me in line, man. And I follow them around. And that's some of the things that I do. Because you know what? It's not about me. And that's some of the stuff. You know, some of our lines say, like, unity is just not a feeling. It's a decision that shapes our actions and attitudes. Our willingness to come together in unity and anonymity means to recognize that each of us matters. I came in, I thought I was nothing, man. But, like, you know, you guys have told me that I matter. That I need you like you need me. That I need that hug like you need that hug. And I chase it hard. You know? Because that's what it's about for me. That's what it's about for me. You know, and I had to learn stuff like that. You know? And you know, I had to learn to just set stuff aside, man. That, like, everybody works there a different program, a different way, man. And the common bond is we all need each other. And I love that. You know, that's things that I learned. You know, I learned that through, like, group conscious decisions, you know, about all kind of issues. You know, I remember, I'll give you some examples, man, like at our group conscience. I love history. I love early literature. I love stuff like that. And what I learned is, like, you know, sometimes I got to set my personality aside and do what's best for the group, you know? And I've ran into a lot of issues in everything with our group because I had to realize it's not about me, man. It's not about me. It's about unity, you know? And it's about that newcomer. It's about welcoming in there. And I ran into a lot of issues through that, you know? I had to learn humility, you know. It's about being able to take criticism, man, because I love this program we got right here. I love it so much, man. I just chased it so hard because I need you. I need you, man, and I need this fellowship. You know, I had to learn acceptance. Unconditional acceptance is tough. I have unconditional love, but unconditional acceptance is tough. You know, and that's some of the things that I have, you know, I have trouble with through my time. You know, that's some of the issues and some of the things, you know, that I run through. And then this is like who I am. Because I tell you what, I'm that guy that used to sit in the back seat. Now I'm that guy that fights you for the front seat. I'm that guy that fights you for a hug. Because that's what I need. Because that's what unity is to me. Unity is just giving you my time, giving you that hug, giving you that extra minute that you gave me when I walked in the door. Because without unity, I'm lost, man. Because, you know, the first tradition tells me, man, you know, not Joe's anonymous. Bottom line, and I had to learn shit like that. Like if the group falls, then I fall, man. So my life is on the line. You know, I'm sure we all know the people that have passed away. You know, people have died through overdoses and everything. You know, we just had another one some little bit of time ago. And, you know, and Unity is what's on the line. Without unity, you know, we fall. I believe I fall, man. And that's how I have to have it, man. So I have to chase it like it's my first day in there. Because I always consider myself a newcomer, you know? And I place myself... I always have some fresh pain around me. Always! You always see me with someone with a... that just came in the rooms with me because they keep it fresh with me. And I want to make it attractive to them as attractive when I came in. You know, because I used to have guys I talked to, man, and said recovery's boring. Recovery ain't boring to me. It's lack of recovery is boring. When I'm in the middle, I don't hurt as bad. When I'm in it, I just don't hurt as bad, man. And that's why I try to make it exciting, man, because people did it for me. You know, I got rocks in my life. I got people I fall around, you know. I'm that first person to give a hug to you. I'm that first person to ask for your number because I need me. If you ask me what unity is, that's unity. Unity is a hug. I believe a hug's a cure-all. You know, it just talks so much in that first tradition, man. And, you know, it's one of the 48 musts right in the basic text, so it better be pretty damn important. You know, stuff like that I had to learn. You know, I love coming to anything... anything, because this is my family. Unity's family. Unity's acceptance. Unity's humility. Unity's, like it says, holding the space for brilliance of others, man. You know? Making everybody feel a part of. I've been in home groups where people didn't feel a part of. You know, I've been in home groups where people just, like, you know, call people out and just talk like shit. And I saw people leave. Next day I know they'd be dead. I've seen that. You know? I've been part of stuff like that. Because I thought I know. I had a feeling of, I know. I got this. Or I'm better than. You know, when I started digging into traditions, when people pointed that out, I said, Joe, you know, start digging in. I dug into traditions more, and I learned that I'm just another dope fiend like you guys. You know, I got in here the same way as most all you guys. I'm not different. I had to look for the similarities. And through the similarities, I chased unity. I chased that hug. I chased acceptance. I chased humility. I quit having that deserving entitlement attitude. You know? You know, my sponsor tells me stuff like this, man. I learned from all you guys here, man. From one day clean to like 50 years clean, man. It doesn't matter, man. Like, you know, I'm that guy, like, I have to have humility in my life. Like, I'm that guy that, you know, I want to involve more people, man. I'm not that guy that, like, just because if you have less time clean than me, that I can't ask you for advice, experience, or anything. I don't care. I have to have the humility. Unity saves my life. Without it, I die. You know? I was taught that. Without humility, you know, it's over. It's over, man. Like I says, I don't care if you vape, not vape, read whatever edition of the basic text, read the great form at your home group. I don't give a damn. I love you all, every single one of you, because I need you. And that's how I feel. You know, talk about unity, I get chills. You know? Because this is my life, man. I bet my life on this. I bet my life on this. And you guys keep me coming back. You know? This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You guys have made me feel a part of it. I've never felt a part of anything in my entire life. Do I chase this? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I chase this, man. You know, we were in a meeting in the last month in like 5 different states. That's some crazy shit to some people. To me, that's how it has to be. I gotta chase it as hard as I can. And with unity, it's just bringing newcomers, involving everybody. You know, loading up cars with people who don't even like each other. Just loading the car up and going. Giving you a hug. I don't like you, Joe. I don't care. Give me a hug. I was that guy that just pissed people off, man. Because I'd share that in a meeting. I'd share, like, the first person I hugged, you know, I don't normally like. And people be calling me out at the meeting. So you don't like me, dude. You know? It's the second meeting in a row you hug me first. People call me out for that shit. But I don't care, man. Like, I had to realize it's not about me. It's about saving my ass, not my face. I don't care about my face. It's never worked at a time, man. Every time I try to save my face, I'll end up on the news. Like I said, I bet my life on this, man. From one day clean, from still high coming in, to like a million years, man. I love you all. What edition you read, I don't give a damn. What about your home group area? Whatever you do, I need you. I need you, man. You know, I don't struggle with things as much as like humility anymore. I did for a while. But until I got that attitude of like, that I don't know. And I have to practice. My sponsor taught me to practice things, you know, like not to say I know and just say, you know, thank you. In that practice, that's unity in itself, man, because it's making feel, you know, I was talking to this guy, he's early in recovery, he told me something, I said, thank you, man, I hugged him, You know, a big smile came up on his face. You know, and maybe a couple years ago, I would have said, I know, man, I got this. You know? But, like, making people feel a part of, man, keeps them here, I believe. It kept me here when people said that to me. And I believe that's you, you know. That's unity, man, because that's me practicing, like, you're just another dope fiend trying to get a day clean. You know? I don't want to know everything. I definitely don't got this. Because, like, if I got this, then I wouldn't be able to come back. And this is where I'm staying, man. Because, like I said, man, I need you guys. And without unity, I fall, man. You know? That's all I got, Joe, recovering addict. Thank you so much.
I would like to introduce the second speaker, Cheryl L. from Frick Park 12 and 12 Group of NA in the East End area of NA.
I'm an addict named Cheryl. So before I say anything about unity, I need to talk a little bit about, like, the last 2 days of my life. See, and there's people laughing, kind of nodding their head. Most of them are friends of mine, probably on Facebook. Like, Facebook has changed, like, Narcotics Anonymous in a lot of ways. I did something today that I never thought before Narcotics Anonymous that I would do. I took my daughter to college. Before Narcotics Anonymous, the idea of having a child, while that was something I really wanted, was not something I ever thought would happen. You know, and as a result of being a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I feel really comfortable and confident that my daughter is going to thrive and grow and accomplish and be amazing. And really, that's because my husband and I haven't raised her alone. We raised her here with you people. You know, I might say it helps a little bit that the unity of the fellowship. It really didn't matter where she decided to go, but she's at IUP. So she's got Alex on campus and Courtney on campus and Desiree a few blocks off of campus and Edgar will bring her pizza. And, like, the crazy thing is, like, she wanted to go to Temple and Danny's really glad that that didn't happen, but I knew that if that's where she ended up, there were people there too, and that's the miracle. When I think about the unity of this fellowship, it goes far beyond, you know, the fact that I can go to lots of places and find people I know in Narcotics Anonymous, but that, like, the unity of Narcotics Anonymous has created a family for my family. And, like, that to me is, you know, a miracle. The really cool thing, I guess, you know, about unity is when I think back to when, you know, like, so much has changed and grown in the 28 plus years that I've been here. So, you know, when I got clean and where I got clean, and it's so funny that Joey shared first, because, like, literally I got clean 3 miles from where Joey's home group is. And when I got clean there 28 years ago, there wasn't a meeting in the town that Joey got clean in, where his home group is. And we used, you know, we didn't have, in the area that was down there at the time, we didn't have a Narcotics Anonymous meeting every day of the week. So when, you know, Joey's talking about getting in the car with somebody you didn't like, Tim's going to laugh. In 1987, I drove a 1985 Honda Accord LX that was not registered, inspected, or insured in any state. It had New Jersey plates on it. When the timing belt went, my mechanic friend said, "When was the last time you had this looked at?" And I said, "Oh, were they supposed to do that?" The brakes were questionable at best. You know, one night a friend of mine and I we took somebody to detox, and then we were at the Dunkin'. This is crazy. The Dunkin' Donut on 51. Out near Ross Straver, and I had my car parked, and there's like a little bit of a hill, and we're sitting there inside Dunkin' Donut drinking coffee, and Tom said, "Is your car rolling away?" Yeah, so. But do you want to know how many addicts you can fit in a 1985 Honda Accord LX hatchback? Check this out. You can put three people curled up in the trunk. In the hatch. And then they have to like peek their head over behind. And then you can put three people in the back seat with three people on their lap. Okay, now wait. I drove a 5-speed. So as the driver, there was nobody on my lap. Somebody was usually straddling the stick. That would be fun for somebody sometimes. And then there were two people in the passenger seat. So if my math is correct, that adds up to 13 people in a 1985 Honda Accord LX. Most of us didn't like each other. Like I said, there weren't a whole lot of meetings to go to, so we used to do this crazy thing on a Friday. There was a noon meeting, and we would go to this noon meeting, and then we would throw our, I use this term lightly, our available cash on the hood of my car. And based on the amount of cash that was on the hood of my car, we decided where we were going that evening. Tim's like going, uh-huh. And we would, and like there were things, like there had to be enough money for gas to get us there and back. There had to be enough money for each of us to put a dollar in the basket. I just want to say that again. This was 1987, and there had to be enough money for each of us to put a dollar in the basket. I'll say it again. It was 1987, and we were each putting a dollar in a basket. If we were going to stop for coffee at one of those haunts, there had to be enough money for us to each pay for coffee and leave the wait staff a tip. Like, those were the rules. Like, we had rules to, like, going on these road trips. And, like, the cool thing I still remember, I'm going to laugh at Mickey. We used to think the best thing in the world on a Friday night was to go to Pittsburgh and go to Root Group. Because that's where real NA happened. Now, what real NA is to me today versus what it was then is a little different. But if nobody is familiar with what Root Group was like in the late 80s, early 90s, you might be able to hear the speaker if you were sitting in the front row. You might. You could usually hear the guy in the back who was saying, "Shut up, there's a meeting going on." But you might not have heard the speaker. There were about four different meetings going on outside, and probably some illegal activity. But those were the things that kept me clean early in my recovery. And you know, I don't want to talk about different or better. I'll talk about different, but it's not better or worse. I just think that when we were forced to search out Narcotics Anonymous that way, we were forced to ride in cars with people we didn't like. We were forced. Some of you don't remember this thing called an answering machine. We were forced to, like, call our sponsor and leave a message. And it was hit or miss whether when the sponsor listened to the message. Like, I could leave a message that I left a message that said, "Hi, Regina. This is Cheryl. I really need you to call me back. Something's going on." And when Gina listened to her message, it sounded something like this. I didn't get a call back. Unity meant that I had to go down to that, you know, I called my sponsor. Who's the next person in my list? I could go through like 20 people in a list and get an answering machine. And if I was waiting to hear back, like, you never knew whether somebody heard that message or not. So, like, I love it today. I get sponsees who call me. They call me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of a work day. And occasionally when I'm at work, I'm working. Right? And I don't answer the phone. And the phone keeps ringing and ringing. And then it's vibrating because there's 15 texts that say, are you mad at me? Why aren't you calling me back? You know, then you might, you know, you get on some NA page on Facebook and you find out that your sponsee is saying, I think I need a new sponsor because my sponsor's not calling me back. And this is all in 20 minutes. So, like, there was something about, like, that effort and work that had to take place back in the day that created a different level of unity than the unity that there is today. Now, there's a really cool thing in the unity today with our new technology. So, like, I'm going up to Warren, PA in a couple weeks for work, and I already have a coffee date with an NA member up in Warren, PA. So, like, there's that. That's unity. Like, all right, if I'm going to talk about unity, let me talk for a second about lack of unity, or learning about unity, or remembering where we came from, unity. So I get a call not all that long ago from a sponsee who doesn't have a whole lot of time, fairly recently back from a relapse, doing pretty good, and I get a call because somebody else came back from a relapse. And my sponsee is like, this is going to fuck everything up. Wait, somebody got clean and that's going to fuck everything up. No, I'm telling you, this is the conversation that I had. Can you tell me how somebody getting clean is going to fuck everything up for you? Well, that person's a really mean and nasty person. Okay. And how's that going to fuck everything up for you? Well, what if they're going to be in the same place as I am? And that's going to fuck everything up for you. How? So we go through this whole conversation, and then this sponsee says, you know, light bulb moment. I wonder if anybody thought that when I came back and picked up my white key tag. It was like, yeah, because you can be a mean and nasty motherfucker too. Like, she really had that light bulb moment of unity is that I'm happy for you when you come back no matter what. And if we have to be in the same physical environment, then this is the best thing. I don't get it. And I said to her, I said, you know, you were in the same physical environment with this person, you know, just a few months ago. And, like, the world didn't blow up. It didn't ruin your day. You went on and you had a really great day. I don't even know if you two even said boo to each other. Like, the amazing thing that happens here, too, is, like, I would love to be able to hug and kiss and fondle and talk to and, you know, have a great intimate moment with each and every one of you this week, Vaughn. That's my sponsee over there laughing about fondling. Hey, let me say something about a hug. All right, I'm going to say this. Don't try to make me remember where the research is, But research shows that a hug doesn't count unless it's at least 30 seconds. So like that. So when I say fondle, I mean like hug, like hold you, our hearts beating next to each other, because it changes something for us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So like there's not enough time this weekend for me to do that with everybody. And if there's somebody that I don't want to do it with, I could probably ignore that person pretty well. And they would never know that I ignored them. Unless, of course, they came up to me and went to give me a hug and I went like that. Which I wouldn't do. Because that is disunity. But I can, you know, at this point in the process and at an event like this, not have to be with somebody that I really don't want to hang out with. But there isn't anybody here that I don't really want to hang out with. Because the fact of the matter is, the longer I stay here, the more I experience the fact that even the person that I have nothing in common with, even the person that if I had met you when we were out there, we would have, you know, I'd have bought from you, you'd have bought from me. If you had and I had, we would have, but then that would have been the end of it kind of thing. That pretty much I can get something spiritually from everybody here, whether I like them or not. So talking about unity and you know, I would like everybody to think about this little exercise. I've never done it in like physicality, but like it's a thing in my head. So I had an experience when my husband had, I'm going to say it, he had quadruple bypass surgery, otherwise known as an episode. That's what he says. He had an episode. An episode that 8 weeks in the hospital and quadruple bypass. I really thought that I knew who the people were that I was going to be able to count on through that experience. And I was probably right about 95% of them. But the thing that blew my mind was the people that I never would have thought. Like, in a million years, they would have never been on my list of this is somebody I could count on when the shit gets tough. They wouldn't have been on that list. Flabbergasted at the people who stepped up in that time to make sure, like, these are things that happened. In 8 weeks, I never went to the grocery store. I don't know who miraculously had the milk on my doorstep. Thank God it was February. My daughter's allergic to milk. They even had the soy milk on the doorstep. There were fully prepared meals that had things like put in oven at 350, like written on them, for 20 minutes and get a bath. And like, as you know, some things happened and I still don't know who the people were. But you know, as time went on, I got to figure out who some of the people were, and it was like, really? Because that's unity. That's what we do in here. Or that's what we should do in here. You know, I don't know how many years ago it was now. 10 years ago, I think, about then, I quit NA. I did. I said to my husband, I'm done. I'm done. This hurts too much. We had just lost another person. My daughter was devastated by it. I was done. I was quitting because if I didn't love you guys, I couldn't get hurt when you guys do the things that we do. And I quit. In my head, it lasted like a month. I think in reality, it lasted 2 days. Hey, you know, when you quit NA, and you don't do any of the things that I've been doing for a long time here, like calling a sponsor, talking to sponsees, going to meetings, you know, 2 days is a long time. So it felt like a month. I realized that I couldn't quit NA because I wasn't hurting you guys. I was hurting me and everything that goes with that. But it changed the way I opened my life. I'll say that. And I started keeping newcomers at a distance because, like, I didn't want to get attached to you and have you leave. Those people that we all have around us who, like, put some of them put significant time together and then go back out. Like, I was keeping those people at a distance because I didn't want to feel that. And I got to a place not all that long ago where I realized that that had me disconnected from the unity of this fellowship. And I made some changes. For me, I'll say this. I talk a good game about unconditional love. Really good game about unconditional love. But the fact is, for a really long period of time, I had a really significant condition on that. And that was that you stayed clean and you were actively a member. And then I came to a place where some people that really mattered to me made some decisions that had them not here. For me, it became, how can I say I'm about unconditional love if I'm not willing to reach out to you in that time when you really need what we have to offer most? So I had to figure out in the name of unity how I could do that and still, like, keep my sanity, keep my recovery, keep my integrity. Technology is awesome. I don't know that it would have been as effective if I was leaving a message on a answering machine that went when somebody listened to it. But today, I can shoot a simple text to somebody that says, I love you, I'm thinking about you, I hope you're safe. I can put a little smiley face on their Facebook page. I can even call them because I know they're not going to answer. And if they do answer, that's a good sign. And leave a message that says, I'm here when you're ready. That's like changed a lot of things for me in the last year in my belief about what unity in the fellowship means. I guess I'm still a firm believer in, like, we really can't push anybody away, but we can certainly make it uncomfortable and difficult for people to come back. And I say this because I think I know myself well enough that I'm like one of those people. Like, I don't think, I don't know that if in that moment, because I still believe I'm one bad decision away, that I'm not the kind of person that's going to make that bad decision and have a whole lot of humility and come back. I'm also not the kind that's probably going to go back out there and use and die. I'm the person that would be back out there living a miserable existence. And I would hope that I have developed relationships in here and that people in here have loved and respected me enough
that if something were to happen, to like help me want to come back. And in the spirit of unity, I've been really trying with the people in my life to make that seem palatable. Make that seem like something that they're capable of. Narcotics Anonymous has been, you know, my family, my way of life, my path. I don't really know a whole lot else. You know, when I think about, you know, the ripple effect and my parents, so my father still, 28 years later, cannot say anything to this effect. He can't say, my daughter's a drug addict. He can't say, my daughter was a drug addict. He can't say, my daughter had a drug problem. He can't, like, the best he ever said once was, my daughter could probably with certain substances. That's like the most vocal he can, you know, because like in our family, like this just doesn't happen. However, when I moved from where I lived out to Pittsburgh, the first thing he wanted to know was, do I know where those meetings are? He can't even say Narcotics Anonymous. Those meetings. You know, when things get difficult, he's like, you still go to those meeting things, right? Like, he has no clue what we do here, but he knows that the daughter he has as a result of my being here is way better than the one that he had before I got here. I don't know, this whole... So, the name of this retreat is the Unity Retreat. So I guess, you know, like, the thing that I want to end this with is, like, we each get to create unity. We also each have an opportunity to create disunity. I really try to ask myself today, when I open my mouth, which is all the time. Yeah. Is what I'm saying creating unity or creating disunity? I'd love to say, like, I don't talk about people. All right? Last time I checked, I'm a human being. I talk about people. That's probably, like, the nature of being a human being. There's a difference between talking with love and talking with malice. There's a difference between gossiping and talking with other people who care about somebody to help figure out how to help somebody. So, I know for me, particularly this weekend, like, I am going to focus my intentions this weekend on creating unity and harmony. Thanks for letting me share.